This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Amen. Psalm 1 verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. Amen. The grass wither, the flower fade away, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Amen. Amen. And this is your title. It's your choice to bear fruit or be a failure. It's your choice to bear fruit or to be a failure. Amen. This psalm, number one, says in verse one, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, first thing is that he opens up and says, blessed. Or some people say, blessed. He opens up and says that you're blessed already. Amen. Before we even get into the rest of it, the first thing I want you to understand is that you're blessed. Amen. And when we talk about the word blessed, it means a few things, but I want you to see how that if you're blessed, that really means that you're favored. Amen. You walk in the favor of God. And so if you're blessed, if you're favored, the life of the believer is a favored life. And I heard someone say before that favor is just not fair. And so if favor is not fair, the reason why it's not fair is because I really don't deserve the things that God does for me, but he does them because he favors me. Amen, amen. I really don't deserve it. Yes, I'm guilty. Yes, I've been bad. I hadn't been up to par, but God still blesses me. Amen. And so I'm favored. Now, when we look at the word bless, the Hebrew writing, what it means is to be supremely happy or fulfilled. And if I'm blessed, I need to be, this is the kind of happiness that is above and supersedes all happiness. Amen. This kind of happiness is a fulfillment. Amen. It's not a temporary happiness. It's not a happiness that you get just because you had one good thing happen to you, but it's a happiness you get because you know no matter what happens to you, it's going to be all right. This blessed, it means it is in the plural sense, and it denotes a multiplicity of blessings. Amen. It also denotes an intensification of blessings. And so when he said blessed, he's saying that you're blessed in more than one way. You're blessed in more than one area. He's saying that you're favored in everything that you do. And then look, it means the intensification of the blessing. It means that when I'm blessed, and when I think I'm blessed and I'm to a point that I just can't be no more happy than I am, then God finds a way to make me more happier than I was. And when I get to a place where I feel like I'm fulfilled, God says that that's not enough. I got some more stuff to fulfill in your life. In other words, what it really means is that he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you don't have room enough to receive. That would make me happy. And so he opens up and he talks about the favor of the people who don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He begins to talk about that, and he not only talks about the favor that is upon the life of the believer, but he talks about the fickle life of the unbeliever. Mm-hmm. He says that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. When we talk about ungodly, that's people who you just say they ain't got no God in them. It ain't no way you got God in you. It can't be no way that you're a child of God as much hell you raise. Uh-huh. You know, when I come, heaven comes with me, but when you come, hell comes with you. Amen. The devil is your father-in-law. You know, the ungodly, people who just, it just ain't no right. They try to find a way always to get over, to be conniving, to be evil, to just do hurt, harm, and put people in danger all the time. They're not satisfied until their hands shed innocent blood. Can I get a witness? Amen here. Amen. And so when we talk about the ungodly, it's people who you can tell that the love of God don't live in their hearts. He said that blessed is the man that don't walk in the counsel. You don't listen to these kind of folks. You don't let them tell you how to live your life, run your life, how to make decisions in life. But we all know some people that are pretty much ungodly. Oh, come on and say amen. We know people. Don't try to pretend like you live in the community of Christ. Amen. You know you go to work. You know you live by somebody who's ungodly. You work with somebody who's ungodly. I wish I had help here. But why in the world would any Christian ask the advice of a person who's ungodly? Somebody who don't believe in God. Now, let me say this. Now, we much respect to those who are psychiatrists and they believe in Christ, but there are some people who don't believe. They have become atheists because of their much learning and because of what they've learned. And they thought that what they learned supersedes the fact that there is a being and a God that lives and it is alive. Amen? And so how is it that I can go to them and ask them for some advice and counsel about my life when they, in fact, don't believe in life itself because God is life? But he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now he's walking in the counsel. You choose the path of the ungodly. He says, and standeth in the way of sinners. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Now the old preacher used to say, don't stand in the sinner's way, let them come to the Lord. But what this really means, you take your position as sinners take a position. Oh, come on and say amen. In this day, you have a whole lot of people and even preachers that stand or take the position of sinners because they want to be politically correct. And that should never be. I don't care how politically incorrect I am as long as I'm biblically correct. I wish I had somebody. I'm not going to compromise what the word says for what somebody else says. I don't care if President Obama came to my house and asked me to say what he wanted me to say. I will not say it if God didn't say it. I don't care who it is. Amen. I believe there ought to be a line drawn in the sand, and we should decide that we're not going to cross over and agree with the foolishness that the world portrays. He said, don't stand in the way of sinners. Amen. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. The seat of the scornful. There is a place for the mockers. The word scornful means the mockers. And what that really means is those who blaspheme the things of God. They blaspheme the things of God. Amen. When you got to be careful, young people. You got to be careful because there are so many rappers and singers that are out there. They're blaspheming the things of God. They blaspheme by pretending to be and portraying themselves to be some godly figure when they're not. Oh, come on and say amen. They use the things of God and to desecrate them and to make a mockery of them. They use them, amen, and they even make the videos based on it. And they even say, let the church say amen, and the people hollering amen, and they know they're not part of the church of God. I wish I had somebody. But what we got to see here is that we cannot afford to allow people to go down this path. Amen. He says that sitteth in the seat of the scornful, the mockers. We don't have no business paying money to see movies that mock God. Amen. We don't have no business doing that. Amen. We have to make sure that we don't participate in those that mock God, that mock the things of God, those that mock the church. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, the mockery that we see nowadays of the church, or even of the preachers, or of the first ladies, or the ministers. Y'all see where I'm going. If we participate and we applaud that kind of mess, then we are just as guilty as the scornful. Amen. I can't get these mics right. I don't hear no volume. Amen. But then he says, verse 2, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, we understand that the believer has favor. Amen. We understand that the unbeliever, his life is fickle because, first off, his life is fickle because he don't have no understanding. The Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. The man who thinks with a carnal or fleshly mind that he cannot be approved by God, and he won't. And look, the Bible said the natural man can't receive the things of God. You're wondering why people don't understand us. You wonder why they don't understand how you can come to church and spend a couple of hours of your day at church when you could be at home in bed. Or you can be watching game day on TV. Da-da-da, da-da-da. You know, they don't understand that. We have a God. Why you pray about it? That looked like a good thing to do. Why don't you just go do it? They don't understand that we trust God, that he'll order our steps. And if we pass something up, that doesn't mean that it wasn't good enough. But what it really means is that I'm really looking for what God has for me. Oh, my God, today. And so they don't understand us because the Bible said they can't receive what we receive. They can't understand the things of God, nor receive the things of God. So they won't know the will of God. So how is it that I want to align myself with people who don't know God? We can't keep aligning ourselves with people who pretend. They put on a mask and they act like they know when they really don't know. And you may not shout today, but listen. We can't keep aligning ourselves with people who don't have the love of God. They say they love you, but they really lust you. Oh, Lord, help me today. We can't keep aligning ourselves with people who don't have our best interest in life. Because if you love me, you'll be glad for me. You'll have my best interest. You won't hate on me. You won't. Come on and say amen. And so we have to find people and align ourselves with people and unify ourselves with people who love God. Because when a community of people that believe, love God, and they do anything, nothing is impossible to them. God said that about mankind, that when man come together, nothing is impossible. And so what I need is a bunch of folks that'll believe like me. Oh, come on and say amen. I need a bunch of people who will think like me. I need a bunch of people who will say the word like I said. I need a bunch of people who believe that our children won't be failures, but they'll be favored all the days of their life. I'm not going to begin to worry and fear what man can do, but I'm going to trust God, what he has, the plan that he has. He has a plan for us and a purpose for us. And so I trust in his plan, his purpose, more than I trust what everybody else has to say. Amen. Look at this. He says now in verse number two, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, we understand that the believer is favored, and the one that don't believe is his life is fickle. He can't get nothing. It's flaky. Amen. He's shaky. Amen. He can't receive from God. But then we understand that the wicked, when we look at the wicked and we look at the digression of the wicked, he don't have the word. He has his own counsel, he has his own way, and he has his own seat. Amen. Because he don't have the word of God. Because he don't understand that God provides the way. He'll lead you in the path of righteousness. He don't understand that God has the place. He positioned us where? In Christ. He don't understand that we have a seat in heavenly places with him. I wish I had somebody. He don't understand it because he don't have a word. And so when you look at him, he goes from walking to standing to sitting. There is a digression in the life of people who don't believe. Amen. They become failures easily. And the question is today, what will you be? Are you going to bear fruit, or you're going to be a failure? Look at this. He says now, as I said in verse 2, he talked about the law of the Lord, delighting in it. We got to see here that there's some flourishing or some fruitfulness because of the word. Amen. The word. He says that he delighted in the law of the Lord. When you look at the word delight, it means that you give your full attention and your full affection to the word of God. And so if there's something that does not look like the word of God, come on and say, man, then I don't give it any attention. And I don't show it any affection. I wish I had somebody. We have been guilty of paying attention to that which is not the word of God. We paid so much attention to it that now we give it our affection. And when you show affection to something, then it starts to like and attach itself to you. If you get a stray dog, stray cat, whatever it is, and you start petting on it and playing with it, sooner or later, if you feed it, it's going to come home with you. You're wondering why negativity been at your house. You're wondering why all kind of mess been at your house and junk been at your house. Is because you paid attention to stuff that does not look like the word of God. You've given affection to things that is not the word of God. You haven't paid attention to the gospel. You paid attention to the gossip. So why do you think you're in some mess all the time? Help me, Holy Ghost. You hadn't paid attention to the health and healing. You paid attention to hell. So that's all you get in your life. Delight in the law. Delight in the law. And some people will find it hard to delight in the law because the law of God doesn't always give you, you know, everything you want to hear. Because sometimes the law will tell you the consequences if you break the law. But when you love God, you say, Lord, I love you enough that whatever comes in your word, if it hit me, that's a good whooping. I needed that. Lord, I needed that because it's going to change my way. It's going to help me to escape where I am. I wish I had somebody. You got to understand, he said that he delighted in the law of the Lord, and in his law that he meditate day and night. Some of us doesn't even meditate. We don't meditate in the word of God. We don't spend time soaking up the word of God. We come, we hear the word, and sometimes we don't pay attention to the full 45 minutes that the word is preached or taught. We don't pay the full, give the word our full undivided attention. We don't give the word our affection. I wish I had somebody. We don't give that to the word, and so we give that to the world, and so we're wondering why we got so much of the world mixed up in our life. Is because we haven't soaked up enough of the word. We got to get rid of those things that distract us. We got to be able to meditate in his law when? Day and night. Amen. There's a daytime and a nighttime. He said no matter where you are, if you're in the middle of the day, you're enjoying the day, meditate on his word. If you're in your nighttime, if you're in a night season, if it's dark in your life, meditate on the word. I wish I had somebody. And when we talk about meditating on the word, you need to know that meditation doesn't mean that I'm just going to read and I don't understand what I'm reading. Meditation means that I take time out to try and understand that even when I read it out loud back to myself. I quote it back to myself so I can figure out exactly what it's saying. And when you start doing that, you don't have to try and figure it out. The Holy Spirit will begin to reveal the word of the Lord to you. Amen. He said, in his law that he meditate day and night. He said that this is the one that delight in the law. We got to delight in the law if we want to be favored, if we want to be blessed. Amen. If we want to have a multiplicity of blessings, and if we want the blessings to intensify in our life, we must meditate in the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree. Now, we got to understand something, that these things that I'm about to say, they are not a reward for you because you meditated, but they are a result. In other words, I don't have to wait for him to reward me. It just, some things gonna happen in my life regardless. Amen. You know, we get a reward. later on. We get a reward, but there are some things that are automatic in our life if we apply the principles that God has given us to our life. Amen? Look at this. We understand the flourishing and the fruitfulness of the believer because we pay attention to the word. We understand, look at this. He says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I like this because it tells us of the position of the believer. He said he shall be like a tree. A tree stands upright. A tree grows upward. A tree grows toward the sky. A tree grows toward the heaven. And see, we have to believe, be believers, and believe that no matter what goes on, God wants us to be upright. God wants us to go toward him. God wants us to stand up and be, oh, come on and say amen. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, he said, having done all to stand, do what? Stand. God expects us to stand. Come on and say amen. It tells us of our position, but look at this. He also talks about our persistence. Amen. He says, for you be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither. His leaf will not wither. Our leaf not withering, it gives a sense of no matter what the condition of the environment, I still have leaves. I still have a hunger and a thirst for God. Because leaves on a tree, they're there because they grab the water and the rain, and they're designed for the rain to flow off of them so that the rain and the water would go to the root of the tree so that the tree would be nourished. In other words, I got such a thirst from God that I can't help but grow because I'm receiving from him. Every time it rains, I get something out of it. Every time the word is preached, I get something out of it. Every time I read the word, I get something out of it. Every time I hear somebody speak the word, I get something out of it. We should never go somewhere and not receive something from the word of God. I wish I had somebody today. Look at this. Now, we understand that we have to get the word because the word makes us fruitful and it makes us flourish like a tree. And he said that you'll be planted like a tree planted by the rivers of water. In other words, that even if there's not any rain, you still look good. Even if you're not getting any blessings, you still look good because of where you're rooted, because of your position. I'm in Christ, and even if I don't have a dime in my pocket, you would not know, because I look pretty good. I look like $1 million, even though I've been through 1 million trials. Help me, Holy Ghost. I come on and say, man. Look. What I look like is I don't look like what I've been through. You know how anybody here can testify. I don't look like what I've been through. You don't know what I encountered just to get here. You don't know how many times I've been lied on, but I still praise him. You don't know how many times I've been talked about, but I still praise him. You don't know how bad I've been sick, but I still lift him up. You don't know what I'm dealing with today. But I'm here to let the world know that I got a God that it looks high, sits high and looks low, and he's able to deliver at any time. So I keep lifting up my head to the hills from whence cometh my help, because I know my help comes from the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah, who created heaven and earth. Oh, yeah, so I'm going to flourish. I'm going to flourish because I'm planted by the river of water. Amen. Water means life. Water brings life. Water keeps life. Your life, if you're a living being, you have to have about 80% water in your body in order for you to live. When you lose that water, they call it dehydration, and you start to wither away. You start to die. I've been dehydrated before. You don't want that. Amen. And you start to get sick. You start to feel pains in your life. You start to just about things in your body starts to shut down because of dehydration. But when you're a tree planted by the river of water, you don't have to be dehydrated because you got an everlasting source. You got a source, that no matter what goes on around you, no matter if you don't have any rain from heaven, you're still standing. If you don't have any water that you can get on the outside, but you still got your roots dipped in the water down deep in the earth, so that when you get the water, it causes you to flourish and you look good. You're like an evergreen tree. Your leaves don't ever turn brown. Come on and say amen. You don't lose your leaves in the winter, but you keep your leaves because of where you planted, because of your position in him. I I look good, I'm planted, I'm prosperous looking, amen, even if I'm not feeling so prosperous. That's what the anointing of God does. The anointing makes you look good even when you're not good. You know, come on, somebody. You know how it is. You don't feel so anointed, but then God just wrecks the house. You don't feel like you can pray to somebody get healed, but then you go by and then the report is that they got healed because you laid hands on the sick so that they might recover. You know, you don't always feel anointed. Okay, I guess I'm the only one that don't always feel anointed. Sometimes I feel raggedy. Sometimes I don't feel worth nothing. But it's not about me. It's about where I'm planted. It's about the position that I'm in. It's about where my roots are. And he said that you bring forth fruit in your season. Amen. You ought to be able to predict some things in your life. You ought to be able to say some things in your life, that I should live and not die, to declare the works of the Lord. You ought to be able to declare some things, that with his stripes I am healed. You ought to be able to declare some things, that even though I'm broke, he said, let the poor say I am rich. Even though I feel weak, he said, let the weak say I am strong. I ought to be able to declare some things. Amen. Oh yeah, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I ought to be able to declare some things because I know in my season I'm going to produce. Oh my God. He said in his season. Now what we got to get past is that we're looking for the day. I said this before. Quit looking for the day you're going to be blessed. Oh, come on and say amen. Because we can talk about the day, because every dog has a day. Come on and say amen. But every child of God has a season. The Bible says that in his season he will bring forth fruit. In other words, I'm going to be fruitful in the time I'm supposed to be. I don't have to worry about whether or not I'm going to bring it forth, because I'm planted, because I ain't going nowhere. And since I'm planted, God is going to make sure I bring forth the fruit. It's your choice. You can be fruitful or you can be a failure in life. I wish I had somebody. But you need the word of God who helps you to bring forth the fruit. And so he says you'll bring forth fruit in his season. Amen. You'll begin to produce fruit, and your fruit has seed. I wish I had somebody. Your fruit and whatever's in the tree is in there because of where the tree's planted. What if there's moisture in the ground? If there's moisture, then the tree soaks it up. It goes through the tree and it goes into the fruit. I wish I had somebody. The reason why, you know, you ever noticed that some of the grapes from California are not as sweet as they used to be when we were young? Well, guess what they use now? They use what they call dehydrated water. And what it is, they dehydrate water and it turns to gel. They put the vine in the ground and they put this gel at the root of the vine, so that if there's a drought and any time, they don't have to go out and water, because the water molecules that's in the gel begins to break down and releases molecules into the root so that the fruit can steady grow, so the grapes can develop. But that's not like real water. That's why it doesn't have the sweetness. All I'm saying is this, that whenever you're rooted and you're planted by the river of water, when you draw from the water of life, your fruit can't help but be sweet. Because every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is... Oh my God, today. So we need to know that I bring forth fruit in my season. If you don't see fruit, just keep looking at my leaves, because it's coming. Amen. Tell somebody it's coming. Oh yeah, I'm not looking for the day, but I'm looking for the season. When you look at a season, it's more than one day. I can do good more than one day. I can bring forth more than one day. I can keep producing all month long. Matter of fact, I got a few months that I'm going to be exceptional. I wish I had somebody. I got a few months where I'm going to be over the top. I got a few months I'm going to be so productive, you won't even recognize me. I wish I had somebody. I'm not looking for a day to be blessed and a day to produce, but I'm not looking for my day. I'm looking for my season. I wish I had somebody. Oh yeah, there's a season coming to you. Oh yeah, I believe that Israel Newbury was onto something when they said, it's a new season, it's a new day, a fresh anointing flowing my way. I got a new season. Oh yeah, the old season passed, and you know, that season was good while it lasted. I got enough to carry me through the other seasons, but now I got another season coming that I'm going to be more productive this season than I ever was in my life. You need to be able to say that about yourself. Come on and say, I'm going to be more productive in my season than I've ever been in my life. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. Oh, yeah, he says, look, he says, and his leaf shall not wither. We need to know that God won't let us wither away. He won't let us be destroyed because of the drought. We may be in a place where there's no rain, there's a drought, but thank God that I'm planted and I'm watered by the word.
We know your hearts have burned within.